learn to do it. Right? Because we're looking at Nick Blum, we're thinking, what's Matt talking about? Sometimes we can just learn how to do life. You know, we can just kind of figure our way through. How many had this kind of conversation, maybe in the hallway with a teacher, or maybe with a loved one or a friend? It goes a little bit like this. You walk in, stand up. What's your name, sorry, again? Jacob, right, Jacob. We're going to have this conversation. Right, this is like a warm-up tonight, right. So imagine we're in a corridor. Yes. Hi, Jacob. You're right? Yeah, good, thanks. And how many of you had that? You can sit down now, Jake. Give the grand applause, Jake. That was Oscar winning, I think, really. That was spot on. And actually, we didn't plan it, and you could have gone completely off script and changed everything of my point I was trying to make, which was, we simply just went, yeah, all right, thanks, and walked off. Now, we could have had a conversation. I was quite glad we didn't. Not that I don't want to talk to you, because how often do we have that very conversation with someone? Right? How are you doing? Yeah, I'm okay. And we just carry on through. You see, the scary thing about life is we can simply just learn how to do it. We can learn how to kind of maneuver our way through life without having to ever maybe answer those difficult life questions that we've got going on in our minds, in our heads. And tonight, we want to think a little bit about how we might express some of those feelings, express some of those emotions that we have going on. Now, don't get me wrong, and hopefully none of the teachers are here to listen to this, but your education is super important. What you learn, what you go to study, etc., is super important. You have a lot of opportunities and helps set the direction of your life. However, it's so easy to function out of competency and not out of divine dependency. I'm going to repeat that. It's so easy to function out of competency, just like that interaction we just had, and not function out of divine dependency, which means having a relationship with God, hearing, receiving, being inspired by. So, again, I'm not saying your education is not important. I'm not saying all those things aren't vital, but I think one of the most important things that if I was to look back in kind of the last 10 years of my life in particular, because it wasn't that long ago I was, you know, in secondary school, believe it or not. Is that actually one of the things that I really look back on and one of the things that I've learned and realised is that actually it was those decisions that I made, like I said, time and time out when I've stood up here. It's the decisions that I actually made here were some of the most important decisions of my life, and one of them being having faith in God. See, faith is powerful. Faith has the power to transform things and situations in our lives and those lives around us too. And I want to tell you a couple of stories tonight, if that's okay, of how people with faith, people who are persistent, made change happen. The first story, which I have always been inspired by, is a story of in 1963. America was in the grieving stage because of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And there was this young girl in Washington, D.C., and she called up her local DJ, disc jockey, WWDC, all right, and asked that they would play one song from four long-headed people from Liverpool. They look a bit like this. Hope you've got a picture of them. You might recognise them. Do you know who those two Bs are? Beatles. There's always one.
It's always Charlie.
Yeah.
Are we lying?
And this young girl asked this DJ to play a song by the Beatles. This DJ had no idea what she was talking about and politely declined and said, no, thank you. Undeterred, the same young girl rang the same DJ the very next day and asked for the very same song by the same four long-headed people from Liverpool. And again, DJ said, thank you, but no thank you, and said no. Undeterred, that young girl then rang again, and this would go on for literally weeks upon weeks, but the same DJ had the same conversation with this young girl, to the point where he got so frustrated, thought, you know what, there must be something maybe in it. So he had a contact in London and a record studio and managed to get hold of the Beatles record. And there in the autumn and the fall, as they was called it in America, in 1963, the Beatles were played on the very first time across America. Now you might think, what's that got to do with anything? Well, importantly, One Direction and many other bands like One Direction actually have become so popular in the States because of a cultural phenomenon that began because of these people, these four long-headed blokes from Liverpool, a cultural phenomenon which still ripples to this very day. Why? Because of that persistence of that young girl. You see, Jesus tells a very similar story in Luke chapter 18 that we find in Scripture. It goes a little bit like this. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. There was a widow in that town, in that town who kept coming to him with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he came to himself. Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so she won't eventually come and attack me. You see, this scripture that Jesus encourages his disciples with, that parable, that story, is simply encouraging them to not give up, to keep persistent in prayer, to keep asking for those situations, those things, those breakthroughs that you are desiring, not for your sake, but for God's impact around your life. Jesus quite literally is encouraging us to wear him out. Say, come on, keep asking me, keep coming to me, keep on having that faith. Remain faithful in the darkest of times. And that was what we reflected on last night during our worship right near the end, wasn't it? And that encouraged us. Sometimes the most powerful moments in our life, even when we are struggling, and we still are able to say yes and amen, say yes to God. You see, each one of us, and I've said this time in and time out, I'm going to continue to say it, have gifts and dreams. And I want to encourage you to keep petitioning, to keep asking of God, what are those for you? Sometimes you might not get it in an instant, you might not get it in a flash. You might get it in a way that you didn't expect, for a friend, for an encouragement, or for something else. But God wants you to keep on keeping on, keep remaining faithful, what he's called you to do. There's another story of faith, a guy called George Mueller. You see, George Mueller, a picture of him there. There he is, old Georgie boy, in the 18th century. George Mueller owned an orphanage. And this orphanage was, he owned a number of orphanages actually. And George Mueller's life is one which I encourage you, put it into Google machine, look up George Mueller, and you will be fascinated by his life story. But there he was in his orphanage one day, and George Mueller had very little resources when it came to trying to feed these orphans. And the staff came to him and said, George, we don't have any food this morning. So George Mueller, the story goes, went into where they were in the storehouse to keep the food or keep everything they had for the orphans. And he just carried on praying. There he was, standing, praying and praying and praying. So some time elapsed and someone knocked at the door. Disturbed Mr. Mueller. So Mr. Mueller, the milk person is here. Their car is broken. Can you use the milk? Mr. Mueller said yes. Short while after, the baker also then came knocking. So I've baked too much bread, can you use it? Upon that, Mr. Mueller said yes. Mr. Mueller was someone of immense faith who persisted in prayer and spent time saying, God, I can't do it alone. I need you. He exercised faith. And faith is crazy, isn't it? I mean, faith really is, quite frankly, mad. And honestly, we all actually exercise faith on a daily basis, don't we? Maybe you don't realise it. But there is a formula, maybe, of faith that I want to share with you tonight. And it's this. Intellectual agreement plus trust equals faith. Intellectual agreement plus trust equals faith. You see, intellectually, I can see this stool, right? And I know in my head, because I've learnt over time, intellectually speaking, stool should hold my weight, right? in principle, I should be able to sit down on there. But there is maybe an element whereby, if anything like in my house, the screws come a bit loose in chairs, they get a bit more wobbly as they get leaned on and kind of thrown around, you know, this sort of thing in our house. So therefore, I've got to put a little bit of trust that it's not going to break. Intellectual agreement plus trust equals, this is the moment of truth, isn't it? Break, always trust, always wobble. Faith. You see, it's funny, isn't it? We have faith in a lot of things, don't we, in life? And often we have faith in things that we actually don't see. I mean, has anyone ever seen wind before? I've not. But I know it's there. Because I go out there, I get blown everywhere. Many things in life that we know to exist, I mean, we haven't yet seen them. But yet when we talk about God to others, they go, but you haven't seen God. Again, have you seen wind? You see, that's what faith is about. Sometimes placing your trust and your intellectual agreement on the things that you can't always see. And that's one of the maddest things about faith. That's one of the maddest things as you kind of explain faith to anyone that hasn't yet decided to believe. They look at you like you're mad. They look at you probably like people looked at Noah when he got up one morning and said, you know what? I'm going to build an ark. What? You're going to do what? You're going to put what in what? I'm going to build an ark. The rain's coming. It's kind of like me saying, you know what? Right now, I think God's only going to speak to us on the moon. We need to get to the moon first. You can look at me and go, nah, you're crazy. You're mad. You're right. I am mad. But Noah, in that moment of madness, seemingly, exercised faith, and there he built the ark. You see, sometimes faith can make us look like we're absolutely mad until those things truly come true. One of the things that I remember today, which I wish I had a picture of, I'm going to find it when I get home. I kind of set out for myself kind of things that I, my aspirations, my hopes, my dreams, things that I just really long to do. And one of those things that I wrote down 5 years ago when I was going through a really, really dark time in my life, I said, you know what, one day I would love to be invited to come and speak at Let It Fall, and that is the God's honest truth. I wrote down on my list of those things, those aspirations, those hopes, those dreams. I said, you know what? It'd be amazing to come and share. Intellectual agreement plus trust equals faith. Faith has the power to change and transform lives. Faith has the power to transform your life. And David, in charge of Solomon in the scriptures that we see around us and we've been reading in his last couple of days, says to him, remain faithful. Remain faithful. To keep praying, to keep worshiping, to keep going, to remain faithful. Even when the world says you're mad, even when people look at you strangely and oddly, remain faithful. Be bold. Remain faithful. My encouragement for you tonight is this. God can only meet you at the level at which your faith is at. What would it look like for your faith to be enlarged tonight? What would your faith look like if it was somewhat bigger and bolder and brighter? What would your life look like? What would your friends' life around you look like? What would your family situation look like? What would your school situation look like if you just had that little bit more faith? You said, you know what? I'm believing something great to happen. I'd like to invite the band up to come and play now. The whole theme of this week is shift. And the reason behind that use of word is active. It's a word which shows that there's change of paradigm. And one of the things that I've really wanted to, my prayer I wanted to convey to each one of you is that change is possible. But we have to exercise a little bit of faith. What does it look like for you today to place your faith and your trust in God for all those situations that you're going through? What does it look like for you to have faith today? And you might say, why? Why should I have faith? And as the bands play, I want to share you one last story. I wasn't going to share it, because I've shared it probably at the point maybe 3 years ago, I can't remember. But interestingly, Olivia said to me, Dad, if you speak tonight, if you share a story about me. And I said, yeah, I will. So I'm going to share a story about her. You've met Olivia, she's my oldest daughter. One of the most important things about my and Olivia's relationship is that we don't share a bloodline, we share a love line. I might click in a minute. We don't share a bloodline, we share a love line. And I remember when she was young, she was about 2.5, and I always give her the choice of what to call me. Never had a problem with that. How long was this, within reason, right? Those days might change again. And so she used to call me Matt. Again, no problem with that. And I remember being in our home in Stafford, and one night I just heard this call in the night. Matt, Daddy Matt, Daddy. And I was about 2 o'clock in the morning, I was in slumber, and we were coming out of my bed, kind of all groggy, thinking, what on earth is going on here? And I was going to the landing, and I could see her in the toilet. I went and saw her, I said, you're right. It's 2 o'clock. And she was upset. I said, come on, let's just go back to bed. And didn't seem anything was wrong. And then, as I kind of gave her the sign up on the bed, there was a moment about, I used to hear when I used to do night chaplaincy in a nightclub, which was a bleh. I used to hold people's hair. I was like, tired, tired, and recording. You got a choice in that moment, right? You can either run yourself, or you can take the ticking time bomb with you into the toilet. You'd be happy to know I didn't do the first thing, I did the second thing. And I kind of picked her up, kind of like passed the bomb. You ever heard that name? Passed the bomb. To the toilet. And, sad to say, didn't quite make it. Not going to lie, didn't quite make it. There she was, kind of as if she'd just been the tiger, being sick into the toilet. So everyone gets a little bit squirmish at that point. And then a couple of minutes, they kind of went by. And in that moment, she kind of finished being sick, she was a bit sick all over her, and she looked at me, and I get sick on me. She had some tears in her eyes. And I just remember going down on my knees. I just remember just going down on my knees. And I remember saying to her, I love you. Daddy loves you. It's going to be okay. Get you cleaned up, it's going to be alright in the morning. And we did it, got cleaned up, put her into bed, and she woke up the next day as if nothing had ever happened. You might have noticed around here what she called me, and from that moment onwards, she always called me Dad. Story, because that is the best picture I can give you of God's infinite love for you. You don't have to share a bloodline, you share a love line with God. God says in your messiness, in your brokenness, no matter how you're feeling in life, I love you, it's going to be alright, let's get you cleaned up, let's go again, let's Let's go again. And that is why I choose to have faith. That is why I say yes to God. That's what keeps me having faith, because I first received that love from God. And my prayer, my hope, is that each one of you will know that that deep sense of love that comes only from God, it can't come from man or woman alone, it can only come from God. That's why I encourage you to live faithfully, to have a whole crazy faith. Because of the love that God gives to us. So I'm just going to invite the band to play now. And I invite you to stand. I'm just inviting you to close your eyes if you want to, and just simply receive that love from God tonight. You are loved. You are adored. You are enough. No matter what the world says about you, you are enough. You know what? Your life matters.
Ooh.